Welcome back to the program. Kevin Calabro, go-to guy, Jim Moore, 710 ESPN Seattle. Hawks preseason, the wrap-up to the preseason. It gets underway at 5 o'clock with a pregame show. And the assembled multitude, Jenny Carlson from the Oklahoman, joins us now here on the Big 710. Jenny, I know this is exciting for you to be on the radio here in Seattle, so guard your enthusiasm, will you?
I tell you what, I'm gonna tell you that your viewers may have a treat because we've got a thunderstorm blowing through here in Oklahoma City right now, so I may get to give you some sounds of Oklahoma as we go. This could be really exciting.
Okay, well, you retreat to the basement if you have to now, Jenny. Don't let us keep you. All right, what can the Cougars expect this weekend as they travel to Stillwater to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys? Where is Oklahoma State this year? What are they doing?
Well, you know, a lot of change is going on in Stillwater. Regardless of what they would have done with their coaching staff, this was going to be a year of change. They had a huge senior group last year, so they were going to be replacing a lot of guys. Zach Robinson is probably the name most noteworthy to people, but lost a lot of guys off the defense too. So this was a year that everybody knew would be a year of change, but in the off season, Oklahoma State goes out and hires Dana Holgorsen to be the offensive coordinator, and he is bringing in that Mike Leach-esque spread. Holgorsen being at Houston these last few years, and they threw the ball around a ton down there. Case Keenum, the guy that headed that offense, everybody go see the numbers, over 5,000 yards last year. So that has added to the level of change in Stillwater, and I think a lot of people are curious to see just what kind of footing this team has. I think there's a lot of hope and excitement amongst Oklahoma State fans, but a lot of unknowns at this point, too. So I think, what are they going to expect to see? What's Washington State going to see? I'm not sure Oklahoma State folks know what they're going to see. So it's a little bit of an unknown right now.
Hey, Jenny, can you tell us about the quarterback there at Oklahoma State? I read something on him that he's 26 years old. He used to he pitched in the minors, Brandon Weeden.
Yeah, a new face, obviously, on the college football scene. But, Brandon Weeden, kind of a Chris Winkie-esque story. A lot of those guys that are out there that have done baseball and then gone back to college football. Brandon Weeden's a guy from Edmond, Oklahoma, which is a northern suburb of Oklahoma City, and was actually going to go to Oklahoma State and play baseball, then got drafted by the Yankees and spent several years in the minors, worked his way up, was involved in a trade, went to the Dodgers eventually, and made his way up to AAA, but had some shoulder issues and just got to the point where he realized that it was going to take a whole lot to get back, and it just wasn't going to happen for him. So he decided he'd go back to college and get a degree, and he had always thought it would be fun to play college football eventually. So he hollered at Oklahoma State's coaches and said, I'm interested. And obviously, when you've got a guy that's a high-round draft pick, he's got scholarship money coming to him from his baseball team. So he's a win-win sort of guy, and he is going to turn 27 during the season this year if he stays for his entire eligibility. He'll be 29 before he's done. So he's making us sports writers feel like we're not quite as old as we are. But, he's definitely an intriguing guy. Played a little bit last year. Played the second half of the Colorado game on a Thursday night. Zach Robinson was injured. They put in a guy named Alex Cate, and he was completely ineffective in the first half. Brought in Weeden in the second half. He whetted people's appetite, brought back the Cowboys to a victory that night. And I think Cowboy fans are excited about him. How well he does remains to be seen, but the excitement level about him is really high.
Yeah, I like this Weeden story because he's playing for the Yankees organization in Staten Island, which is a short cab ride away from any number of fine restaurants and taverns that stay open till 3 a.m. in Manhattan, New York City. And he was telling the story about, I mean, here's the kid from small town Edmonds, Oklahoma, finds himself in Staten Island. After the home games, they would head to Manhattan just to unwind. Can you imagine that on a minor league contract? That had to just be crazy. All right, Jenny, let's talk about your friend and ours, Mike Gundy. Are you guys okay now? The head coach of the Oklahoma State, are you guys all right?
You know, I've always had a good relationship with the program there, even through some interesting, I think we had termed them interesting times a couple years ago. So, no, all is well. I covered probably half of the Cowboys games last year, and half the year before was on the Cotton Bowl coverage team. So, yeah, all is well. You know, this has been a really interesting program to cover just from the standpoint of, you know, really trying to build and grow, and obviously the Boone Pickens influence and mm-hmm. the stadium renovations. I mean, there's been stuff going on the last couple of years. It's been really intriguing to watch as this program's really tried to build a base and get its feet under it. And no shortage of intrigue, that's for sure.
How much money did Boone put into that complex?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what the final total was, because a lot of the money that he gave, they put into some different funds to try to grow the money. I mean, yeah. It was so significant that just sitting on it in a non-interest-bearing checking account would be sort of thing would be ridiculous. Of course, you know, I don't think that he does non-interest-bearing checking accounts. That's stuff that mere mortals use, right? But, a lot of money. There was a lot of money that Boone Pickens put into it. And I think a lot of other Oklahoma State people stepped up to the plate, obviously not to the level that he did. But I think for a lot of years, Oklahoma State fans really hadn't been called on to be, participants in the fund raising of Cowboy sports, and particularly Cowboy football. And so I think a lot of people dug into their pockets in ways that really you hadn't seen in a while. But clearly, without Boone Pickens, without his, you know, millions and millions and millions, they would definitely not have the facilities that they do today. And it's been huge in helping turn that program around. Kids that wouldn't have otherwise given a second thought to Oklahoma State see what they're doing, see the commitment, see the facilities, and maybe they sign, maybe they don't, but they at least go. They at least go and look. And that's a step that, for a lot of programs, they never do cross that threshold of getting the top guys to at least come and look. Oklahoma State has gotten past that, and they're starting to get some of those guys, and that's really helped them turn a corner.
Hey, Jenny, I take it there's a lot of interest still in Russell Okung and how he's doing out here in Seattle. What, Cowboy fans, what are the expectations for Russell in the NFL?
Well, I think it's pretty high. I mean, he was, you talk about all the stuff that's going on at Oklahoma State, and it just seems like an afterthought, but it's really not the change on the offensive line that they're going through this year, only one starter returning. And one of the main reasons that I think that may be a sort of an under-talked about issue for Oklahoma State is because of Russell, a four-year starter at left tackle. I mean, you don't see that very often in college football, and he was just such a rock at that position. You'd see them go up against, you know, supposed sack masters and really talented defensive linemen, and he would just negate them. I mean, that's how good he was throughout his career, and it wasn't like it just happened last year or happened as a junior. It was the whole way through his career. So he is clearly a guy that I think a lot of people feel like is going to be, going to be a mainstay for the Seahawks for as long as they want to keep him. And, I was a little surprised to see him go a little bit late in his signing, not get into camp. But, he's a very talented guy, and he's a student of that position. I think once he gets in there, he's going to show himself very capable to be able to hold down that position for a lot of years to come.
All right, this is painful for all of us out here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You ready?
I'm ready. All right.
How's Clay Bennett doing? How's Kevin Durant? How's the love affair with the Thunder going?
Doing great.
Russell Westbrook? How's the team that's going to unseat the Lakers and beat the Heat? Go ahead, Jenny, tell us.
You know, for the benefit of Seattle folks, I'd love to say that things are, you know, going horribly and everybody's miserable, but the truth is that, you know, there's very high excitement about this team. I mean, obviously, the way they played the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs last year, and the regular season turnaround, the 50 wins, and just all the things that have gone on in the last year, the optimism is very, very high. I think Kevin Durant signing that long-term extension during the summer, he signed for the max deal, and the team was very willing to give it to him. But then Kevin, in turn, decided that he didn't want a player option in that. And he's going to basically be here. He's not going to become a free agent with time left on that contract. He's going to be a member of the team for as long as they'll have him. And, you know, honestly, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't keep him for as long as this contract is for and longer. He just continues to develop and People are seeing that with the world championship team that he's starring on, and Russell Westbrook's continuing to develop. Yeah, I think it's definitely a high time for this team, and people are just really excited to see just how much better they can be in 2010-11.
Things going well out in the heartland. There she is checking in, Jenny Carlson. The house is still on the foundation as the storm goes rolling through Oklahoma City. Jenny, thanks for joining us. You have a great time this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Jenny Carlson, columnist, Oklahoman.